So if any of you who don't know me, I'm Sophie, and I usually do kids, and today I get to talk to grown-ups, which is very exciting, and there's some confused-looking kids still here. Do you want to go this way? Jake, you take two fire. And if anybody else has children, just send them through that door, and they go into a magical world where people look after your kids. So this morning, I was asked to speak on what's called physical health, and Rob and our church are doing a series on different types of health, and I kind of died inside a little bit when he asked me to do physical health, because I don't really consider myself a very physical, healthy person. I'm skinny, but like I'm like a fat person trapped inside a skinny body. So I thought of like everyone in the church who should do this, which is like most other people, specifically like Rab, whose nephew thinks he's actually Batman. And probably Katie is also probably going to give a good talk on physical health. But I feel like it was a good way of God humbling me, because I had to be like, what does physical health have to do with God? And I think I went and listened to Rob's sermon on the podcast yesterday. And Rob was really just saying that we're not looking for a balanced life. I'm not going to come here and tell you that you need to like exercise 3 times a week, because I don't, or eat healthily, or don't drink as much, or don't do drugs, because they are things that most people know what to do and what not to do for your own body. And we're not talking about a balanced life, as Rob was saying last week, but about living life to the full, because that's what God has for you this morning. So where was I going with this? So I want to talk to you a little bit about a man named Job. And Job is a really interesting book in the Bible. It's probably the most depressing book that was ever written. You read it and you kind of get bored about halfway through because it's so depressing. And basically the book of Job is about a man who has it all. He's got money, he's got loads of children, loads of property. He's a happy guy. And more importantly, he's kind of like the perfect Christian. God thinks he's wonderful. And God describes him as a blameless and upright man. So the story goes, God is out one day and all the sons of man come before him to worship him, which is great. And Satan comes along and God's like, hey, Satan, have you seen Job? He's pretty great. And he's like, he's upright, he worships me, everything's going well for Job. He's kind of like the perfect man. And Satan's like, yeah, but obviously he's going to worship you because his life's going pretty great. He's got no reason not to praise you, right? Nothing's ever gone wrong for Job. He's got a bunch of kids who love him. He's got all this property. So Satan says, hey, let's try this out. How about you let me kind of mess around a bit with Job and see if he still worships you at the end? So God is like, okay, you can do whatever you want to Job, just don't touch Job himself, the man. So in the next day, a servant runs up to Job and he says, something terrible has happened. All your servants have been murdered except for me. Your flocks were struck down by fire. All your camels have been stolen. And then just as he finishes saying that, another servant runs in and says, the building where all 10 of your children were has collapsed and all of your children are dead. So this is, I can't imagine that kind of grief, to literally lose everything you've ever had in one day. And Job, being this amazing guy, worships God. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he did exactly the opposite of what I would have done, which I probably would have been grieving and not thinking a lot about God and definitely not praising him. So God says to Satan, hey, he did pretty well that time. So Satan says to him, well, actually, all that a man has, he will give for his life, but stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And God tells Satan, behold, Satan, he is in your hand, only spare his life. So Satan makes a really interesting observation about human nature, which is that we will pretty much give anything we can to save our own neck. So you might lose all your property, right? But you're kind of like, I'm okay, I'm still good, I can deal without my other stuff. You might lose your children, which I can't imagine what that's like. Me personally, I would like crawl up in a ball. But you're still you, you're still functioning, you can get through the day. But Satan says, if the way to basically break a person is to physically break them, if you want to break someone's spirit, you physically break them. It's kind of like the concept of torture that they that they use throughout the world. If I want to take someone down, I hurt you physically over and over till you can't take it anymore. So this is what Satan does to Job. He sends sores all over his entire body. So you can see why it's a really depressing book. Literally his whole body, he's in incredible pain. And there's chapter after chapter after chapter of Job kind of crying out and saying, what's going on here? And then come along three of the world's most unhelpful friends who, instead of saying, hey, Job, this is awful, let us help you out, let us be nice, they like do the opposite. They're like the friends you don't want. They're like, Job, this is what you've done wrong. You're a terrible person. You deserve to have all of this happen to you. And Job's spirit is broken. Right at the time he needs his friends to be like, hey, this is really tough, his friends are like, no, actually, you brought this on yourself. So Job goes from being someone who is hanging on by a thread to someone who can't cope anymore. He loses all hope and he stops praising God. He says, God, I haven't done anything. Come and tell me what I've done wrong to deserve all of this pain. And I know when things go wrong in my life, that's definitely something that I do. I say, what did I do to deserve this? What have I done, God, to deserve this? So he goes on for chapter after chapter about this. So I'm going to come back to Job a little bit, but I think what's really important here to look at is how your physical health completely impacts on your spiritual health. Now that Job is sick, he no longer praises God, and all his thoughts are on himself and in self-pity. And that definitely is something that resonates with me. Like, if I suffer from, the man flu as well sometimes. And when I do, I feel really sorry for myself, and I don't really think about God in those circumstances. So this is not a story about how Satan tricked God, because sometimes people read it and they're like, why would God have gone along with that? Why would God have let Job suffer? God knew exactly what he wanted to do. But he also wants to give Job an understanding that can only come when you know what it is to suffer in the body. He wants Job to be completely reliant on him. In Romans 4:3, we read, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So I want to talk about that symbiotic relationship, or that interdependent relationship of our physical with our spiritual, because often Christians get so caught up in talking about like worshiping God and being really holy and reading the Bible that you forget that you actually need to look after your physical body, because it's a reflection of what's going on inside for you. So I've got 5 points to help us out this morning. So the first one is, my body is God's property and your body is God's property. It belongs to God. Job says, I came into this world naked and I will leave this world naked. When you're in this world, you get a loan of a body. It's not yours for keeps. But the body belongs to him and he created it with a purpose. So God gave you a spiritual purpose and he has to use your physical body to go and do that purpose. In Psalm 139:13-14, he says, you created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He gave you the body he wanted you to have, okay? And that can seem really strange, but if I think about what that actually means to me, I remember the first time I ever held my nephew when he was born. I don't have any kids of my own, but I imagine if you have your own kids, it's the same idea. You're given your baby for the first time. And I was so nervous, and I'm not normally that nervous a person, but I was literally shaking, and I have no idea why my sister gave me a baby, because I was shaking so much, I thought I'd drop him. But I was shaking because he was so precious. Like, he was this gorgeous little guy, and I knew how much he was worth. I knew how valuable he was. And I think it's amazing that at one point, someone all held us like that. Someone shook with nerves because they were terrified of dropping you. Because they thought you were that amazing. Because the thing is, if I dropped him, that's it. There's no one to replace him. He's completely invaluable. He's one of a kind. He is fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. God literally carved out every ounce of your physical body. He's not just talking about your spirit. He's talking about your actual physical body. And I think it's really important to own that. That's kind of exciting. That when next time you look in the mirror, you're looking at a body that God made. You're not looking at, I mean, we tend to look in the mirror and we're like, oh, I need to work on that. Probably shouldn't have gone out last night. whereas God's looking at a body that he made himself. So let it fill you with confidence. Look in the mirror and say, God made this body. And the other thing is that if it's not really our bodies, then who are we? We're the managers of our own bodies, okay? And if I'm caring for it, that means I need to do a good job. In this world, people will always say, I hate when feminists say, I'm a woman, I can do whatever I want with my body, and that's my right. That drives me crazy. That's not feminism. I don't know what that is, but it's really annoying. You can do whatever you want with your body, right? You can. That's your decision. But if a right means that I can abuse my own body, then it's not a right I want to have. I don't want to do that. That's not something that's good for me. My body belongs to God, and every ounce of my flesh is his. Every ounce of your flesh is his. But that doesn't mean that, like, you've got, you know, I become a Christian and now I've got this long scroll of, like, no's, like, no drinking, no sex, no, I can't think of anything after I say that word, food. I was trying not to get awkward. Most of the talk that I was, like, given was all about sex, and I was like, nope, that's Rob's job. Rob would love to talk about that. And if God made our body, then he obviously knows what's good for us, okay? It's like going to IKEA and you get instructions. It's like ignoring those instructions, which most of us do because we think I can do this better and faster myself, and you never do. It's always awful, and you have to deconstruct it and then put it back together again. God knows what's good for our bodies. If you ever want to figure out how you should be exercising, how you should be eating healthily, go read the Bible and see what it says for you, okay? The other thing is that we're made with physical needs and desires, okay? All those things that our body needs, they're not bad things, they're good things. We need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to drink, we need to run. They're all God-designed desires. However, if you try to find your purpose in meeting your physical needs, you'll never feel whole. So lots of us try to, like you see it on models, they meet their physical needs to look good. And that's their purpose in life, right? But who's ever seen a happy model? They always look really serious. Okay, and it's the same with all of us. You know, when you get addicted to drugs, you're trying to meet that need inside of you through something physical, okay? And God made us like that, okay? He made us so that we could have an idea and a taste of what it is to be physically satisfied, so we get an idea of what it's like to be spiritually satisfied. But you can't actually get spiritually satisfied through anything in this world, okay? And the two things are connected to each other. So when we do look to be satisfied by physical things, we end up getting addicted to them. So most people are addicted to something at some point in their lives, whether it's food or sex or drugs or drink, because we're trying to fulfill, you're trying to make yourself feel whole, okay? You're trying to connect your physical to your spiritual, and you can't do that without God. It's not possible. The second point I want to make is my body will be resurrected after I die, okay? That sounds like a really strange concept, but what I want to say is you will suffer in this world. If you haven't suffered, it's a matter of time. That sounds really awful, but if you haven't suffered yourself physically or been in pain, I'm sure you have loved ones. I feel like half my friends' parents have cancer, and it's absolutely awful to watch people go through that. It's devastating, and all I can say is there is a day when you won't have this body anymore. Thank goodness God will give you a new body where you won't have to feel hunger, you won't have to feel pain, you won't have to know what it's like to watch your parents go through a soul-destroying sickness, okay? Because God will give you a new body, and that's the hope that he's put in us, okay? And it doesn't necessarily make things, it doesn't lessen the pain when you're in this world, but it does give you a hope to cling on to, okay? Where you can connect your physical and your spiritual, so your spiritual can still praise God even when your body maybe isn't up to it and can't at that time, okay? When we look at Job gets to that point. Job's whole life has fallen apart, and it's his sickness that really breaks him in the end. He starts to say, why was I ever born? And I'm sure a lot of people in this room have asked God that, why did you bother with me? This life is awful. Why is there suffering? And they're just all really, what I love about Job is he asks the questions that we maybe don't tell people that we've asked. Why are we suffering so much? And then his lovely friends don't help the situation. You know, they really make it worse for him. And they push him right into despair. But here is the promise if you have an addiction. One, you can get help in this world, and definitely as a church, we can point you in the right direction, no matter what your addiction is. But the other thing is, in the next world, God will give you a new body, okay? And a literal body. It's not like you're going to be floating around the sky somewhere. He will give you an actual body that look, the Bible says that it look like Jesus' resurrected body. Okay, so if you're here this morning, remember that, okay? God will bring healing into your life, whether it's in this life or in the next one, okay? And there is this wonderful promise in Revelations 21:4. It's not a terrifying book, as we all think it is. It says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Okay? You will never have to cry again. Do you know why? Because your physical and your spiritual will be one thing. I only ever cry when my spiritual needs to get something out, whether I'm ecstatic or whether I'm absolutely devastated. After I cry, I tend to feel a lot better. It's your spiritual, or it's a physical representation of how your spirit is feeling, which is kind of amazing that God gave you that. So the third thing I want to talk about is my body is connected to the body of Christ, which sounds really abstract, but basically it means you're not alone, okay? We're all here today. There are people throughout the world who walk with God and who worship God. When you are in pain, you're not on your own, okay? If you're suffering, we're all suffering. God made us to depend on each other because maybe I have money and you don't have money. So my job as a member of Christ's body is to give you money to meet your physical needs. If you don't have food, I need to give you food to meet your physical needs. While one person is strong, there might be another person who's weak. I can almost guarantee you that not everybody in a room is doing wonderfully, okay? He gave us physical needs also so that we could learn to depend on each other and also so that we would be responsible for each other, okay? In this room, you are not alone. Okay, we are here with you. The Bible says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. My physical health has a direct impact on your physical health. If you've ever watched a friend be sick, you know what that's like. They're not sick on their own. You're sick with them in a lot of ways because you're heartbroken for them, okay? And this is a great opportunity for us to bless one another, okay? We need to change our mindsets. You're not on your own in these things. If you're sick, great. I have an opportunity to bless you, okay? In link groups, which are great fun, we are learning about tithing at the moment, okay? And tithing is basically a biblical concept in which you give the first 10% of your money to the church, okay? And I always have a knee-jerk reaction to people talking about tithing because I'm like, oh, somebody wants to rip me off. But that's because we've read and seen and experienced a concept where you are guilted and scared into giving money to the church, which is basically a wealthy white man who takes all your money and has a great time with himself, right? That is not the church. If I thought about the church as all of us, okay, and I'm giving money so that, say, Carol can feed her grandkids, that's a very different concept, isn't it? To giving money so that Rob, hypothetically if Rob is that kind of man, could buy a Mercedes and live in a mansion, which I can assure you he absolutely doesn't. So that's what you need to think about, giving the first 10% of what I have so that we can meet each other's physical needs. That actually makes me really excited. That makes me understand why God wants me to tithe. So that's something I'd encourage you to do. The number four is that the Holy Spirit lives in my body, okay? If you are a Christian this morning or you want to be a Christian, the Holy Spirit basically moves in, okay? Remember how I said you're the manager of your own body? It's kind of like you're the manager of your body and the owner moves back in, which is really cool because I know in work when I get really stressed, I need to go to someone and say, I haven't a clue what I'm doing. Please help me out. It's the same idea, okay? You don't know how to work your own body because you didn't make it. God made it, and he knows how your body works, okay? I remember as a teenager, whenever, and I'm sure we've all done this, whenever your parents went away, you don't own the house, so you're like, you kind of live in your own dirt for like a week while they're gone, and you don't clean anything, because you're like, why? It's going to get dirty tomorrow. Why would I bother? And you probably have friends over, and it gets really gross. I remember like living with my brothers in particular, because they have like no concept of clean. And then the day before they come home, you're like, oh no. There was always this plan that you had to be in the house right before mom and dad came home, and we were all cleaning. And my brother would always conveniently be asleep, and you couldn't wake him up. But there was this panic to clean, okay, whenever they came home, because it's their house, it's not yours, okay? You take so little responsibility for things that aren't yours if you don't care about them, okay? But this is what the Bible says about your body. Your body is a temple, okay? That means when God moves back in, he's moving into a temple. That means when I look in the mirror, I can be like, hey, my body is a temple. I thought it'd be really funny to make you all turn to the person next to you and say, your body is a temple. But that might be really awkward. Oh, you two are going right for that. I thought that'd be really awkward if you're standing next to a stranger, okay? But you can do that if you want to. So my body being a temple. Oh, look, you guys are getting so into this. Okay, so my body being a temple has two practical applications, okay? Firstly, look after yourself, okay? I know that parents in particular look after their kids, and maybe at the very end of the day, 5 minutes before they fall asleep, they think about themselves, okay? And I would love to be that selfless a person, but I don't have kids yet, and I haven't been forced into that position. You need to be healthy, okay? You need to exercise. You need to eat properly. You need to drink without getting absolutely hammered, okay? Which is a real problem in this country. We don't have any, like, portion control. We're just like, ooh, keep going. You need to be faithful to your spouse, okay? And I'm not holding myself up as someone who guesses right all the time. I literally tried to go for a run yesterday and thought I was going to collapse and die. And I was like, this is really spiritual, thank you, God. Right, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, so I need to get that right as well. I need to look after my body. The second part of our body being a temple is our body is a temple, okay? Be confident. Our church is like literally halved in size since January because people have lost so much weight. It's like some sort of crazy thing. Every time I run into someone, I'm like, what happened to you? And it's crazy, and it's great. People are really taking a good job of their body, and there's lots of hilarious gym stories. If you talk to Lisa, she has some very interesting stories about showers in the gym. Okay, but who decided what a perfect body is, right? I look all the time in magazines and all the rest, and it's like, this is a perfect body. I was really excited when Johnny Depp's wife decided or had gaps in her teeth, because I was like, I have gaps in my teeth. It's no longer a bad thing. And then all these models started like carving off bits of their teeth, which is ridiculous. But a good body is so dependent on where you live in the world and the time of the day and the year and who's on TV at a given time. So stop worrying about all that kind of stuff. God gave you the body he wanted you to give. When you get a baby, you don't look at a baby and go, hey, need to do some weight around the thighs. You're not worried about them. Like, they're gross. Like, they like dribble and poop and puke everywhere. And you're like, oh, it's so cute and endearing. But like, God made that body. God feels the same way about you. Like, it's not going to be endearing if you like puke and poop all over yourself, but it's how God made you, okay? So, you know, be proud of that and be proud of each other as well, okay? You need to encourage one another. Hey, your body is a temple. You look awesome, okay? Respect your own body, okay? Don't abuse it. You only get one body. It's a loan. Take good care of it. It's God's house. Your body is holy, which means it's set aside for God and for God's purposes. So if the Holy Spirit lives in my body, we've suddenly got this very clear connection of physical and spiritual. If my temple, my outside temple, my body is being robbed and broken by me or anyone else, it's going to have a direct impact on what's going on inside of me, okay? It's not possible. It's not possible to hate my own body and still be okay on the inside, okay? If I go out and get completely rip-roaring drunk the next morning, I'm not like, yay, God. I'm like tired and I want to look after myself and I don't feel good because they have a direct impact on each other, okay? what's the first thing you notice about someone when they get clean from drugs? It's the physical, isn't it? You go, wow, that person has gained weight. They look brighter. They look like everything is different. You can physically tell that they are clean because those two things are matched up. Their spirit and their body are, their spirit is getting the message that I deserve to be respected, I deserve to be treated with dignity, and that's reflected in their body, okay, which is awesome. And so number five, which I think is really important, is Jesus bought my body on the cross, okay? So this body, that's how valuable it is, my physical body. He didn't just buy your spiritual being, he bought your physical body. And there's nothing more valuable in the world. There's, as we said earlier, no one who can replace your physical body, only you. That's it, that's the whole deal. And God bought that body, okay? And he promises to meet our physical needs in our bodies, okay? And whether that's through each other or through miracles, which I absolutely believe in. I couldn't get through a day of work if I didn't ask God to meet physical needs in people's lives and in my own life. At the end of the book of Job, there is hope. So like if you drag yourself through all of those chapters, sometimes I just skip to the end of Job, you get to see that good things happen for Job. But where Job kind of went wrong is Job just gets so into despair because his body is not working that he doesn't praise God, okay? And that's where I definitely go wrong, and I don't know about you guys, but that's where I go wrong, is that I stop praising God if things aren't going right in my body. So God basically talks to Job, and he names every animal that he can think of that he provides for. He provides for all their physical needs. He says, I haven't given the ostrich any wisdom, and the ostrich literally has an egg and it just leaves it there and it goes off. And in most, you would think that ostrich eggs would be crushed and died and all the rest, but God has made plans around that. And if God cares about an ostrich, who are like the ugliest animals I've ever seen, he cares about you, okay? He knows what your needs are. He's not sitting up there being like, figure it out yourself, okay? He is there to meet your physical needs, right? And we are all here to meet each other's physical needs, okay? Like, I'm not saying we're like a church with tons of money, and if you come to us, we'll be like, here you go, have a check for $1 million, because we don't have a lot of money. But what we need to get right is matching our spiritual and our physical, because God, as Rob was saying last week, wants us to live life to the full, okay? So while you're healthy, okay, and not all of us are here, are healthy this morning, you need to look after your body. If you're not well, and I know lots of us here aren't going to be well for 1,000,001 reasons, okay? I'm absolutely shattered. I was so stressed this week that I was like borderline tears all week. And then my boss cried because she was so stressed. And I was like, why are you stressed? Your life's not that hard. Because I'm so physically exhausted, okay? And I think part of that is God saying, Sophie, you need to get that part right, okay? You need to recognize when you're tired, you need to sleep. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in the Psalms, when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters of rest. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's saying, I'm in charge. I own your body. I know exactly what you want. You won't need for anything. I'm going to make you lie down to rest in places where I can meet everything that you need. Okay, I can give you places of rest, be that in a friend's house, be it literally just having a few hours out on your own. He does this because he has purposes for you, because he needs your body to go off and do things for him. And then this morning as well, I know that there are people here who aren't well, who need God to come and to heal them, because the first part of the word health is heal. So there's one, we can do that practically. We need to get to know each other through relationships, through link groups, and figure out how we can practically help each other as well as a church, because I really believe that that's the kind of church that we are, is we're here to meet each other's physical needs in as much as we can, okay? The other thing is that we can pray for healing. Okay, I genuinely believe God heals us, and I think that's an amazing thing. Yes, he gives us a new body in the next life, but he can also heal us in this life, which is really cool and really exciting. And I've seen people be healed. I've seen my mum brought back from where I wasn't alive yet, but I know my mum was brought back from the brink of death by God healing her miraculously. Doctors had no idea what happened or how she was healed, but I genuinely believe that for all our lives, and I know a lot of us can testify to God doing those amazing things, okay? So the 5 points, you need to have confidence. Your body is a gift that is fearfully and wonderfully made. Stop looking in the mirror and saying, I wish I was younger or whatever. I don't know what you want. But that's the body God gave you. That's great. Every ounce of you is exciting. Just like babies, you know, whether you're roly or super skinny or you think you're perfect or whether you're tall or small or whatever, that is the body God gave you, and he gave it to you for a purpose. Hope. You won't always suffer. There will be a day when there'll be no more death or crying or mourning or pain. Compassion. I feel compassion when people have physical needs that need to be met, okay? And we need to be responsible for each other and be a blessing to each other. Your body is a temple. Treat it right, okay? If you're so fortunate as to not be sick at the moment, then make sure you're looking after that body. If you are sick, get to a doctor. Ask for healing, okay? And honor, your body was bought at the highest price, okay? That's amazing. There's literally nothing. If we look at gold, which is something we think is rare, there's lots of gold in the world that you could find, but there's literally only one of you. What I'd like to do is if we could do a really short time of worship. If you are in a good headspace this morning, that's great. Will you pray with people around you? I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front unless you want to, but if you can talk to the people around you, if you want to put up your hand and ask for prayer, there are lots of us here as well that want to pray for you. If you are suffering physically, because I know God this morning wants to say that he wants to bring restoration to the temple of his Holy Spirit, okay? He wants to restore our physical bodies so that we can return to worshiping him. If you're not feeling well, worship him anyway, okay? Worship him out of your despair. Which is what Job was called to do in the end. So let's pray for each other and be a blessing to one another. Get to know each other so we can meet each other's physical needs.